Okay, Ethan and Jack.
That was going to be my question. Is it Ethan and Jack?
Ethan and Jack are going to be joining us.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Apex, the weekly podcast and editorial by Custodian, which is the all-in-one platform which is trusted by over 40,000 enthusiasts now to manage and protect their cars. I'm Archie, and today is a rather special episode because, as you can probably see, I'm in Alex Kirsten's storage unit. And, that's because Alex Kirsten is my guest on the podcast.
Hello, how you doing?
Very well, thanks, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm all good, thank you. I'm good. Yeah, you smashed that.
Thank you.
Good intro.
Yeah, it feels a bit weird sort of, you know, welcoming you to the podcast when I'm in your unit, but...
I know, yeah. Quite disgraceful, isn't it? But yeah, we'll let it slide.
And this isn't actually your first time on the podcast.
No, we had a super quick one, didn't we?
After, the world record for the world's quickest
was
podcast.
Was it the NEC Restoration show also, right at the end of it also?
Yes.
So yeah, that was quite a hectic weekend. And then we ran over to your stand and I think we spent like 10 minutes or so. Well, I was gasping to... I think I actually brought a beer with me.
You did, yeah.
I did bring a beer with
beer
me.
In hand,
It was one of those weekends where I was just like, I just need to drink alcohol now.
Yeah, I've got a few more questions today as well, so hopefully we
all right, let's do it. Yeah, we've got time. And we also have a lot of beer. And you brought some beer as well.
Yeah, I actually brought some beer. Yeah, we might crack it today.
So maybe we can get drunk while doing it.
I actually wanted to start by asking you about your Porsche 993.
Yeah.
How are you finding Porsche ownership?
Well, to be honest, I've not actually done that many miles since the video that we did going to Wales, purely because it's been winter, it's been shit weather.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, I haven't had the insurance policy that I wanted to be able to drive around the streets of London, go to Caffeine and Machine, all the rest of it. Yes. I was a little bit nervous. Until you guys came along
and sorted
me out. So, with spring now, spring has sprung as of, a few days ago. So
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to taking Nigel, my high mileage 993, out to car shows and wherever else. It's going to be glorious.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good point to mention that we do now insure Alex's 993 and his MX-5 Phil.
You do, yeah.
And how are we doing?
You're doing really well. You've obviously got the virtual garage where you can upload the build and modifications of your car, which makes getting insurance easier because you've documented everything you've done.
Yeah.
All the insurance companies can see that and then see that you are an enthusiast car owner.
Yeah.
And then they're more likely to give you the cover that you think your car is worth.
Yeah. That was very good, thanks.
I know, yeah. I'm not even reading off the script, but genuinely, like, both of these cars are covered to the value that I am comfortable with.
Good.
And I know that they are worth.
Any feedback for Lewis? Anything he could be doing better? Or?
I mean, where is he? He should be making tea. So, Lewis, get your ass over here next time.
Awesome.
No, but you guys are genuinely awesome. Yeah. And you're a young company as well.
Yeah, we're still like a startup, really, you know, very early days, but... it's going very well. I'm pleased to report, and to have cars like you that are insured with us now is pretty cool.
This isn't just a car insurance podcast. It's just genuinely this is just fact, and I'm genuinely happy.
Good. Cool. Well, yeah, I'll pass that on to the team, but that's good to hear.
Yeah, nice.
Obviously, I want to talk about some of the other cars in your garage and your content more generally as well. I mean, you're affectionately known as the king of the shitbox.
Yeah.
When you were sort of creating this kind of relatable content, did that kind of happen by accident, just what you enjoy doing, or was it sort of a conscious decision to create this kind of content?
I'd say it was a conscious decision. I mean, I'm one of those people who never live above my own means. Like, if I've got it, I can afford it. I never finance anything, and I just like to be comfortable with the stuff around me that I can afford to not only repair, but crash and then repair, so I'm never going to have a Lamborghini or a Ferrari in the garage, unless it's a shit Lamborghini or a shit Ferrari. Yeah. But for me, there's lots of people doing supercar content, and you got Schmee, and back in the day it was Schmee, Paul Wallace, Supercars of London, all those people, Seb Delaney, who were out chasing supercars and stuff. And I just wanted us to do different things, us being Car Throttle back then. Which led us into buying cheap cars, going on adventures, off-roading crap cars, and just putting a spotlight on old cars and saying, hey, this car might have 450,000 miles. Usually it would be in the scrap heap, but here we are. We've done a little bit of work to it, and hey, we've driven it to Germany. We've done a lap of the Nürburgring, and we have reinvigorated that car and given it a completely new lease of life. And I think people have latched onto that and thought, actually, this car is old and crap, but isn't it charming? And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to enjoy it for a bit longer.
Yes. Yeah. And I think there's a level of sort of authenticity to your content. You can tell that it is the kind of stuff you enjoy making.
Yeah.
But then equally, obviously, you know, your channel is, what, 600,000 subscribers on your main channel, 150K closing in on Alex V2,
yeah,
number one automotive podcast in the UK.
Yeah.
When you get to that level, you know, to what degree is the content become maybe like influenced by numbers and analytics, or do you try and not let that interfere with
so too much? So to begin with, I was like, oh yeah, this hasn't done as many views as I expect it to do, but now I genuinely don't care. Okay. Like if a video does below 300,000 views, I'll be like, okay, we messed up.
Yeah.
But generally, if it's above 300K, 400K, then I'll be like, okay, yeah, we're on a good trajectory here.
Yeah.
I'm not chasing numbers anymore. I just want to have fun with my friends, buy cars, go on adventures, and just live a life that I'm comfortable and happy with showing and putting a spotlight on and exciting the audience to go and do the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
So numbers for me isn't the be-all and end-all. It's really easy to get caught up and watch the likes of Matt Armstrong, who's bought Marcus Rashford's Rolls Royce, and think, oh my God, his video's done 2 million views in a day.
Yeah.
I need to get to that level. But ultimately, I don't really want that, because when you're at that level, you can never get off the treadmill.
Yeah.
And like, you know, if I walk around at a car show, it gets quite a lot because lots of people want to speak to you. But if you are like Matt Armstrong's of this world, then, you know, daily life is probably quite difficult. Like going to the shop is probably unimaginably difficult. So, you know, at one point it'd be nice to have a few more numbers and just keep on climbing that ladder. But on the other side, I quite like privacy and my personal life. And I think at the moment, you know, we're at a kind of good level where I can walk around, you know, have a chat to a few people I've never met before, but I'm not getting inundated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just enjoying myself.
Yeah, no, good. And I suppose, do you think then about the sort of longer term vision for Auto Alex? Like, have you thought about the next 4 to 5 years? What does that look like? Or is that a bit of a, like, oh, you know?
No, there is no plan. Okay. It's literally just, we'll think of an idea or something. I'll watch something and I'll be like, hey, that's cool. Or just, I'll be, you know, trying to get to sleep and I'll be like, oh, why don't I buy a really high mileage Tesla and see how that works out? It's just random stuff like that, but nothing is really ever planned.
Okay.
It just happens as it happens. And yeah, the audience are along for the ride, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That...
Hello, William.
Hi, Will.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
Like, obviously, Will from Overdrive there. Obviously, now the new Top Dead Center channel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Our new channel under the Auto Alex umbrella.
Yeah, well,
are you keeping all of that in?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We'll see how I feel in the edit. but I guess on that, you know, you see the way that YouTube sort of pans out for some big channels. So like Linus Tech Tips, I don't know if you're familiar
with
him, right? So massive channel, and then he's got all these like subsidiary channels.
Yeah.
I think he has a fairly similar path to you in the sense that he was at a company that he didn't have like a fantastic experience with. He's branched out on his own, and now he's built this kind of like a media group.
Yeah.
Is that something that sort of has crossed your mind a bit in terms of like, I could do something similar in the car space?
So if you'd have asked me 2 years ago, or coming up to 2 years when I started Auto Alex, absolutely not. I just wanted to have a YouTube channel and do my own thing. But now it has turned into a bit of a small scale media empire. We've obviously got Auto Alex main channel, we've got the V2 channel, which is doing all right. We've got Top Dead Center now as well, which we started with Will and Edwin, and that's done, you know, 150k subs, and the views are really, really strong. So that's all under the Auto Alex umbrella, and then we will be launching one more channel very soon, which won't be so car focused. But it will have a couple of very familiar faces. When is this podcast going out?
Not any time like like couple of weeks. Like, I can push it back.
Okay. Ethan and Jack.
That was gonna be my question. Is it Ethan and Jack?
Jack are gonna be joining us. And yeah, it's quite bizarre because we're gonna have 1, 2, 3 separate channels. But the whole Car Throttle, former Car Throttle team are together again. So that's... it's like our version of the Sidemen.
Literally.
So, so we've got big plans with that. Ethan and Jack are actually going to be starting filming in the next week, couple of weeks. We're currently, what are we now? End of March. In the contract stages at the moment.
Okay.
So just got to get the contracts over to them. They're going to sign and then away they go.
That's big.
So that's cool. So it's really nice that I've been able to start this channel with Rory, obviously. Rory is integral to everything. And now I'm able to employ, you know, friends from Car Throttle. I employ my wife 3 days a week as well to look after the books. And yeah, it's cool. It's really cool. And my friend, one of my best friends, Chris Hill, with whom I do the Auto Alex merch as well. So we're 50-50 with the merchandise.
Yep.
And yeah, he's quit his very well-paid job to do this full-time. And yeah, it's just cool. It's a little bit scary when you think about the amount of people that are now under the kind of Auto Alex umbrella.
Mm.
But, you know, it's going well and I'm surrounded by really good people. So,
well, I think that's it. It sounds like you've just built this you know, group of your friends, really, and your family and loved ones. Yeah. I mean, what a better situation than that.
It's just accidentally happened. We've got a guy called Josh as well, who's a mechanic. You know, he's been on camera a few times and he's going to potentially be, you know, leaving his job to join us full time as well. So
taking over the
So all in all, it'll be about 10 of us, I think.
Yeah, goodness me. So obviously the Top Dead Center channel is already going.
Yep.
Have you been imparting wisdom to Will and Edwin on that front, or are they...
Well, I mean, they're already very skilled at what they do, and they've got their own ideas. And you know, when we started talking about the channel, we talked through ideas.
Okay.
And they said, hey, there's this Porsche 996 that we'd really like to buy and do a restoration on, and it's fire damage, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So that was the first project car that, you know, that Auto Alex paid for.
Right.
And then hopefully the channel will start paying for itself. So I think within 2 months, 2.5 months, the channel will be washing its own face, which is fantastic. And then hopefully, you know, the sky's the limit for the guys.
Yeah, that's pretty, obviously, to go from you know, Carter and all these guys, and then years later you sort of bring them back together, perhaps as it should have been originally.
Well, I mean, I understand, you know, budgets and how much people need and deserve to run a good YouTube channel.
Yes.
The thing is, like, over the past 3-4 years, Car Throttle has been strangled because companies haven't understood how much money it actually takes to make money on YouTube. You have to spend a lot of money. You've got to throw loads of money at it to make money. And that's what I understand. And I know the perks that I would want if I was, you know, in Edwin or Will's or Ethan or Jack's position. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, just have it. Just run with it.
Yeah.
And if they're happy, they're going to do good things. And, you know, it benefits everyone. But we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, Top Dead Center so far going really well.
That's really good. I'm very pleased to hear that. I mean, that's a bit of a bombshell that you've just dropped. I mean, that's cool. But I guess I want to sort of talk a little bit about your own sort of journey as well to this point. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you've spoken about the level of support that you've had from friends in your journey, people like Mike Brewer offering to financially support you in the early days when you launched Auto Alex.
Yeah.
What was it like to suddenly be in the driving seat of your own channel? Was that a very liberating moment, or was it?
Yeah, I mean, it started off quite liberating, and then the first video dropped, and it just went mental.
Yeah.
And I think after 2 weeks, there was 250,000 subscribers, and I was like, "Shit!" Like, there's a lot of people now who, quote unquote, depend on me for entertainment and stuff. And then I just felt the weight of the responsibility on me. It sounds like I'm blowing it out of proportion, but when you're in that bubble by yourself, it is a lot. And I just remember speaking to my now wife, Rianne, and saying, do you know what, if I could click my fingers and just go back to normal life, which was just working at Car Throttle, I would probably do it, because I have the security blanket of having a salary and having a boss that tells me if I'm doing a good job. And now it's up to me to do that good job and to make sure that videos go out week on week. And I don't think we've ever actually missed a video. In 107 videos on the channel. It was a lot. And then, I just managed to just drag myself through the other side. And, like I said, Rory has been integral to building the business, really, and coming up with ideas and all the rest of it. So it's gone from strength to strength. We obviously met up with Taylor.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's great on camera and he comes up with weird and wonderful ideas. And, you know, when we go on road trips and stuff, there's never a dull moment.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the audience have latched onto that and the channel has evolved because of it.
Yeah. I think also, I mean, from my point of view, there's a kind of, and this isn't so much a question, but keen to get your opinion on it, but there's a tendency to sort of be, obviously your channel has done enormously well, but to chase the subscribers and the views and whatnot. But actually, sometimes I wonder if, you know, you're actually having fun doing what you're doing, you're enjoying it, then that person's more successful than the one who might have more subscribers. And I feel like that's something that sort of resonates a little bit.
I mean, it is easy to look at other YouTubers and think, oh, the grass is greener.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, are they having as much fun as me? I doubt it.
Yeah.
Because I don't put too much pressure on myself. I don't chase numbers. You know, the channel is comfortable. It can pay for anything it needs to continue growing. And if I've got an idea, or if Rory's got an idea, or whoever it might be, chances are we can fund it and then just see if it works out.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole chasing numbers thing, maybe 10 years ago when I was in, you know, my late 20s, that might have been important. But now I'm older, I'm wiser, and I just like having, you know, my freedom and personal space a bit more. So I'm like, do you know what? Just take the pressure off. It really doesn't matter. Yeah. It genuinely doesn't matter. Like the feedback we get in videos is always really good, and people just enjoy just losing themselves and just laughing. And, you know, if it's me slapping Taylor's ass or so, people always just enjoy that kind of stuff. So it's just silliness with cars.
Yeah. But I suppose when you do have a channel of that size, you know, with sort of that freedom comes a level of responsibility. And like you said, I think people underestimate the time that it takes to make content. You know, what do your days actually look like at the moment? Do you have like meetings and stuff, or what's the sort of
I've got meetings with channel sponsors and all the rest of it, and meetings with companies with whom we do videos with. Like I've got a meeting at 10:45 with a crash test company, which will be quite cool. So hopefully start crashing some cars with
hopefully
them.
Hopefully not the ones we insure.
No. Although I'll get a bloody good payout. But no, I mean, a day kind of looks like, you know, on a weekend, I'll chat to Rory and say, okay, like this is what we need to do this week. Or he'll tell me what we need to do. We'll get to the unit about 10 and then we'll start filming 10:30, 11.
Right.
And if that's, you know, we need to buy a car. Like yesterday, for example, we did a K-car challenge and we sat down on the sofa, opened up Facebook Marketplace and searched for a K-car for £2,000. We found one, we bought it, we look around it, we go for a little drive, and then it's 4 days in the edit and then it gets released that week. So chances are, if we filmed it on a Monday, it will be coming out on a Thursday.
That's a lot.
We're always chasing our tails, unless we go on the kind of road trips, you know, like the Nürburgring road trips, where we can get 3 episodes filmed in 4 days. Then we have a buffer of about 2 weeks. But then inevitably, we are always chasing our tails like 3-4 weeks later. Not that we take our foot off the gas, but stuff happens in life that means you can't film.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose, you know, with all this going on, I feel like I kind of maybe not already know the answer to this, but how do you make sure that what you're doing is still something you enjoy?
Because if I'm ever bored, I just won't get any enjoyment from it. Yeah. And I don't think that will resonate very well with the audience on camera. And if they see that I'm just not enthused by something, then chances are I am bored and I'm not going to do it. Like for me, it's important to come up with an idea and then execute it quite quickly.
Yeah.
Otherwise that idea can become quite stale, or chances are you've got an idea and then another YouTube channel does it and you're like, bloody hell, that was such a good idea, I should have done it at the time. But yeah, I mean, strike while the iron's hot, and chances are if you do have an idea that you think's cool, it probably is cool, so just crack on with it.
So what are some of the plans you've got for the rest of the year? Obviously Shedfest is in May, is that?
Yeah, Shedfest is the second Auto Alex car show, which is a celebration of shitboxes, high mileage heroes, project builds, all the rest of it. It's, you know, it'll be one of the UK's largest gatherings of shit cars. So I'm super excited. So that's on May the 4th.
Are there tickets for that still available?
There are still tickets, yeah, but all the show car tickets have sold out, and spectator tickets, I think we're halfway through.
Yeah.
But we're looking at 15,000 people. And the show's got really, really cool sponsors. You know, headline sponsor, main sponsor, yeah, and all that. So we've got big stage area. We've got Tavarish coming over. Mike Brewer's going to be there. I've invited Mighty Car Mods as well. It's going to be hectic. Like, yeah, if last year was anything to go by, we sold out 5,000 tickets very quickly, and it was brutal. Like, it was brutal. We had our marquee there selling merchandise, and, you know, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., there was a queue of probably 500-600 people wanting to buy stuff or chat to us or get stuff signed.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be a tough day, but it's going to be loads of fun. We're going to have podcasts and invite guests, and the TDC guys will be there, and Ethan and Jack will be there, and Mike Brewer, Tavarish, and we'll get everyone up on stage. And we're also going to do a car giveaway, which will be fun.
Nice. Okay, yeah.
So, there'll be a lot going on.
Yeah, no, I'm actually fixing up an old Defender with a buddy of mine, and it's a complete piece of shit. So,
perfect. Like, yeah. Well,
the only
come
problem
along.
Is you won't get there.
All right. Well, bring a trailer.
Yeah, I was going to say I have to get on the trailer, but that sounds good. Well, I actually wanted to sort of round off with some quickfire questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why have you got a smirk on your face?
If all car manufacturers were going extinct and you could save one, which one would you save?
BMW.
I mean, I was writing that question. I was like, you like the BMWs, don't you?
I do. I mean, BMW is a kind of one size fits all. I mean, if you want a sports car, you have Z3, Z4. If you want a daily driver, I think my F11 530D Touring is the best daily driver money can buy. I can do like 45 mpg. It's quick. It can tow. It's comfortable. It looks good. It's a good size. And literally they have something for everyone, and the classic BMWs as well, just fantastic. It would be that, and I would obviously keep all of my old stock. I'd keep Phil, I'd keep Nigel, but BMW would be that one, but only if they went back to their roots a little bit and dialed it back.
Older BMW.
It's got to be older BMWs with the straight sixes.
And you're building an M3 Touring, aren't you?
E46 M3 Touring, which will be revealed at Shedfest.
Oh, okay.
And that has turned into a nut and bolt restoration. You should see the underneath of that. It is brand new. Like, there is not a spot of rust on it. It's been fully redone. And it is, you could literally eat your dinner off the bottom of it now. And there is so much work left to do, but the guys at Reedish Motorsport are cracking on, and I'm trying to find wheels, and got suspension from BC, and Scorpion are sorting out the exhaust, and then engine is being built, and. But that's gonna be like one of the best E46 M3 Tourings in the world, genuinely. I'm gonna say it,
No, that sounds pretty cool. Favorite moment you've ever had in a car?
Favorite moment I've ever had in a car?
Yes.
I know, because it's the only thing that's actually in my brain at the moment. I've had loads of really cool moments. I've interviewed loads of cool people, like Ken Block, for example. That was amazing. I interviewed him a few years ago at Car Throttle. But I would say my favorite moment was when I drove a young lad called Matt Pollard, who has terminal 4 brain cancer, into his own car show. So I went, I spoke to Goodwood and I said, this is a story. Matt would like his car to be tarted up so he can go to car shows with his dad. And I said, look, I would like to set up his own car show so he can take his fully restored MX-5 that we will sort out to Goodwood. And they were like, yeah, you can have a day. And I spoke to loads of different sponsors, and we turned it into like a really cool car show and surprised Matt, and his family knew all about it. And Matt and his family turned up at the gates of Goodwood, and then I drove to the gate and I brought him and his family in Rory's E61 535D. So I was driving, Matt was next to me. We entered the paddock of Goodwood, and there were probably 2,000 people there, and they all spread completely so the car, you know, like the parting of the seas. The car drove through, and everyone was clapping for him and saying, yeah, go Matt, yeah, yeah, we love you, Matt, and that kind of stuff. And we drove to the stage, he got out, all of his best friends were there, and like everyone cried and everyone hugged. And for me, that's like the best moment. It's the best thing I've ever done, genuinely. And I don't think that'll ever be topped. But yeah, just seeing everyone parting and showing so much support for Matt is the best moment I think I've ever had in a car.
Yeah. That must have been an incredibly humbling experience for you to be able to have that impact on someone else that you don't really know. Well, you don't really know. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. It was truly amazing. And the support from the car community, and everyone banded together, and we all fixed up that MX-5 for him and his dad. And there was probably 15 grand's worth of stuff that went in there. It had carbon fiber bucket seats, for Christ's sake. And then for Goodwood to give the day, and, you know, we had a stage and we had everything. And had I paid for that all, that's probably 100 grand's worth of car show in a day. To hire Goodwood is tens of thousands. And yeah, just to have the support of everyone. And we raised £50,000 and we gave it all to Matt and said, do with it what you want. If you want to take a private jet to the Bahamas, you can do that now. So yeah, just the car community banding together and achieving that is just the best thing ever.
That's pretty special.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
What would you say is in your dream 3-car garage if you had to?
Oh, that's easy. That's really? Easy. Yeah. E46 M3 Touring, which is being built. Nigel.
Yeah.
My 993, because I absolutely adore 993s. My favorite generation of Porsche 911.
Yeah.
And Phil. My V6 MX-5. Yeah. You got something for everything.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
You got your GT Cruiser.
Yeah.
You've got your track car. And then you've got your car that you can drive to the Nürburgring in, do a lap, and then drive back at 160 odd miles an hour. That being the E46 M3 Touring.
Yeah.
And we've got two, like a red car, purpley red car, and then a techno violet BMW.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, for me, that's just the best.
Yeah. This is funny. I've asked that question to quite a few people, and everyone's like, oh, no, like, I don't. That was so quick. Like,
yeah.
You've got that unlocked.
I've got two of them right here. And my E46 M3 Touring, I'm actually going to be trying to get insured with you soon.
Okay.
It has to be built first and finished so you can see it actually exists. But yeah, I will be knocking down your door.
We can insure it as like a lump of metal at the moment or something. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Final question. If you could build a shitbox version of any car that existed, what would it be?
A shitbox version of any
so
car?
Like any sort of like rundown, like crappy version, high mileage, whatever, and you could get your hands on it.
If I could, so what you're saying is like, what's a cool project car for me? Or
essentially, yeah.
I've always really fancied, a BMW E31. I think it's E31. Okay. So the 840 or 850 CI. That for me is like a poster car, and I am quietly like looking. And I know there are a couple in the UK that are going for about £5,000. So if I could get my hands on one of those, then that would be scratching a very big itch.
Yes.
Because I've always fancied one of those. Because if it wasn't for Nigel, my 993, I probably would have ended up with an E31.
Okay.
It's something that's definitely on the list. I just love the look of them and they're just so cool.
So
get me one of those.
Okay. No, that sounds cool. Well, I know you're very busy, so we'll wrap things
good.
Up. But,
it's all good.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time.
No, you're welcome.
Really appreciated it. And thank you very much for listening, for watching. Just as a quick reminder, you can join a community of over 40,000 enthusiasts already on Custodian, www.custodian.club. You find us on the App Store. The Android app is coming soon. And by building a digital garage on Custodian, basically means we can produce a more holistic presentation of your car ownership than traditional brokers, which basically means we can get a more bespoke cover. Go and check that out. There are plenty more podcasts available as well on all the major streaming platforms. Thank you very much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.
Yeah, get Custodian cover, it's good. All right,
cheers, Alex.
No worries. See you soon. Bye bye.